like me, who know that there's something dreadfully wrong with the political and religious institutions which govern our nation, who recognize the considerable malfeasance inherent in the media, the military, and global economic influences. We realize that these institutions are the problem. They caused them, which means that they cannot be part of the solution. We ought not be concerned on who we vote for because it will make no difference. Therefore, our mission is to look behind the headlines so that we know who is perpetrating these tragedies that are besieging our planet. Because based upon this plague of adverse political, religious, military, and economic influence, we have at most 15 years until all hell is unleashed on this planet, until it becomes unrecognizable. A complete economic collapse is going to transpire. World war. Unrelenting propaganda. And the deaths of billions. As a result, in our second hour, we're going to engage God on His terms through evidence and reason, since His guidance regarding His covenant provides the only escape from what will soon befall planet Earth. Our phone number, if you'd like to participate in this discussion, is toll free. It's 877-300-7645. Before I begin, I have an announcement that I would like feedback on. I have prepared some 250 pages of documentation entitled America's 101 Wars. I'm in the midst now of editing that for presentation purposes. It begins with the first wars fought by the American colonialists, of which there were 13, and then documents the 89 wars that were perpetrated by the United States since its inception following the Revolutionary War. It is an amazingly enlightening tale. It's a tale that is very seldom told. Now, to present that much information during the first hour of this program would take us better part of a year. So I'm wondering if I should present this tale of woe. It's a tragic tale that really does need to be told. Do I record it separately, say, on Blog Talk Radio, where I currently have the Shabbat show every Friday, but just expand the broadcast on Blog Talk Radio? Or do I devote part of the first hour every day to this, or devote an enormous amount of time to it? It would take us away from the news for a very long time if we were to do it. So I'm just curious as to whether or not those of you who are listening to this program have an interest in knowing about America's past, very violent past, the very past that Jefferson begged us not to continue, this state of constant war. Yes, in less than 250 years, America has engaged in 101 wars, conflicts, conquests, invasions, and punitive actions. It is not a pretty picture, but it paints a picture that I think we all need to know. Now, if you're wondering how to best contact me, most of you do know, but if you go to yadayah.com on that website, there is a contact us button. If you send an email via it, which is essentially email at yadayahweh.com, I will receive it. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. There was a mention in the news that QE2 is being opposed by Republicans. It's actually QE3 that we're part of now. QE3 is a $1.1 trillion annual exercise and counterfeit by the Fed. Now, prior to doing the study for a program earlier this week, on Tuesday of this week, I had wrongly formed the conclusion that, partly right, partly wrong, that China was the largest holder of U.S. treasuries, and therefore it is foolish for us to position our military to confront China, a country that owns us, isn't going to destroy us, and thereby destroy their own holdings. And it's true that the Chinese are the largest national owner of U.S. treasuries, to the tune of about $1.3 or $1.4 trillion. But that's chicken feed compared to the treasuries that are owned, we'll put that in air quotes, by the Fed. To assault the Fed today, it's way too late. They own and control America. They are the largest holder of U.S. debt. As a matter of fact, America would be bankrupt today if it were not for the Fed. I shared this with Craig Smith. We'll get back into it a week from last Tuesday when we meet with Craig again. But the reality is that America is bankrupt because it can no longer service its debt. We can't find banks or nations or individuals to buy American debt, at least at an affordable interest rate. So enter the Fed. It counterfeits money to buy these treasuries through an illusion. And really, that is the issue, is whether or not a country is bankrupt or solvent. You know, debt takes a country towards being insolvent. But so long as you can find someone that is willing to provide money through debt for you to pay your bills, you can continue the charade. But once there is no one willing to provide you with sufficient money to continue the bad habits, the overindulgence, it comes to a crashing end. Immediately, overnight. And the only reason we haven't reached that crashing end, which is brought on by finding no one willing to service this growing mountain of debt, is because of the game the Fed is playing. It's called QE3. In another future program, the other thing I wish to talk about, since it also came up in the news, is the Affordable Care Act. The Affordable Care Act, as I thought about it this morning, is actually a blend of what I expect to dominate the world over the next 20 years. If you want to know what the world's economy and political infrastructure is going to be like over the next 20 years, it is presented within the Affordable Care Act. You see, the Affordable Care Act, in terms of its strategy, it's pure communism. It is socialism. It is based upon from each according to their ability to each according to their need. That at the heart of the Affordable Care Act, and the reason it cannot be changed, it was based upon the strategy that the healthy are going to be charged more so the sick can be insured more cheaply. The reason that no one can be turned down for a pre-existing condition is because those who do not have a pre-existing condition will be charged more. So it's from each according to their ability to each according to their need. But the mechanism at play isn't communist or socialist. It is, in fact, fascist. It's private insurers that are being engaged. But there is only one dedicated product that they can offer. The government has decided that the private insurers can only offer one product, and that is the product that the government is dictating and has designed. And they can only offer that product through the government. Fascism, the only difference between fascism and communism is that in fascism, there is private ownership, private business. But the private business in fascism is controlled even more tightly and adroitly than it is in a communist society where there is no private ownership. And when you deal with control of that magnitude, there really is no difference between total control and total ownership. And so it is through the Affordable Care Act that we see this blending of communism and fascism that will be the basis of the New World Order and the economics of the future, dictating bankruptcy on the masses, enslaving them, treating them as inferior, while some, particularly those politically empowered, get richer. Now, yesterday, we were talking about this fellow, Sana was his name, from the Philippines that is engaged in a hunger strike in solidarity with his comrades in the Philippines. And rather than blame the Philippine government for being ill-prepared, for their total negligence in moving people to safety when they had 5 days to move them to higher ground, which would have been extraordinarily easy to do. Rather than blame them for not having bulldozers and dump trucks and public latrines and stashes of water and food and tarps for shelter in the foothills on both sides of Tacloban that could have been deployed within an hour of the time that the storm had passed. No, Shana and his fellow pseudoscientists, now religious zealots, want to blame countries that are providing the aid, Europe and the United States, for causing the storm that ravaged the Philippines. I'd like to continue that article. We'll probably take 30 minutes to do so, and then we're going to transition into a rebuttal of Hagee's book called The Four Blood Moons. The article continued. It was presented by CNN. It said that the long-term climate change, driven largely through the use of fossil fuels, which release heat-trapping carbon emissions into the atmosphere, is controversial politically, but is it accepted as fact by most researchers? Well, that's not true, by the way. It's not controversial politically. It's controversial in terms of the research. It's not based on actual research. There is no research that shows that man is responsible for global warming. None. There is lots of research that shows that global warming is the result of 1,500-year cycles that have been present here on the Earth for millions of years, perhaps even billions of years. And that these 1,500-year cycles, including cold periods and warm periods of equal duration, is what is driving the current weather trend. So scientists, those who are now become politicized, those who have become religious in their zeal, say that they can't pin any particular storm on the process, but that the warming of the air and oceans loads the dice in favor of more extreme weather. So the fact is that the North Atlantic has actually cooled. The South Pacific has warmed. And there will be, in the next decade, a reversal of that, as there is a constant change between the warming and cooling of the waters. As a matter of fact, speaking of cooling, the polar ice cap this year was 60% larger than it has been at any time in the last decade. In the last 30 years, the temperature of the Earth hasn't risen so much as a fraction of a degree. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. As we continue with the CNN article, we have a statement from a fellow whose first name is interesting in that it is Noah. Deffenbaugh is his name. He's a researcher at Stanford University, showing that no matter where you work, if you're into climate as the research topic, you are going to be an environmental wacko. It goes with the territory. Science no longer matters. It is all a matter of faith, of one's belief, of forcing upon everyone the doctrines that you advocate, and condemning anyone as a heretic who would dare speak against you. This is a quote from Noah. When it's a very rare event, we have a challenge scientifically in distinguishing between the rare chance event and the possible effects of global warming. That's a stretch in the extreme. You've got no connection, and they know it. So for these individual storms, that's a particular challenge, said Noah. Deffenbaugh, a climate scientist, who will put scientist in quotes, at Stanford University. But Diffenbaugh added, quote, even though that's challenging science, we do know that global warming is occurring. Now, that is extraordinarily misleading. Let me tell you why. The science of global warming has existed about 20 to 30 years. That's how long it has been even a topic. It's about 20 to 30 years. During the last 30 years, the average temperature of our planet, as best we can measure it, hasn't changed an iota, not even a fraction of a degree. Over the last 16 years, where global warming has become the cause celeb of the elitist, the liberals, the academicians of the world who like to partner with and because of political correctness are akin to socialist politicians. During the past 16 years, the birth of the global warming mythology, the Earth has actually cooled. Now, that said, we are in a warming period. We will be in this warming period for another anywhere from 200 to 500 years. The average length of the cool periods and warm periods are about a minimum of 300 years, maximum of about 800 years is kind of the range of the cool and warm periods. The last period that the Earth emerged out of, complete period, is called the Little Ice Age. It began around 1200 to 1250, and it concluded around 1875. That was a period of decidedly colder weather. Times 3 to 4 degrees cooler than average. It is a time where glaciers grew, where the ice caps were greater, where the temperatures around the world plummeted. And it wasn't centered on Europe. It was global. It was preceded now by the medieval warm period, which was preceded by the Dark Ages cold period, which was preceded by the Roman warm period, which was preceded by the Greek cold period. And so on, the cycle continues. So we are in a warming period, but it has nothing to do with fossil fuels, has nothing to do with man. It has all to do with elements way beyond our control. Cycles of the sun, issues with our orbit, our tilt, on our axis, so many other mega trends that are causing this that have nothing to do with man. And because it has nothing to do with man, man is not responsible. There should be no discussion about this other than to say, all right, we know that the history. We know what has transpired during the warming periods because we now have recorded history from before the Greek cold period to today that we can look at the differences, and they were not catastrophic, but we can look at the differences and what we need to prepare for entering a warm period because we've been there so many times before. So he said that we do know that global warming is occurring. Well, yes and no, as I say. Yes, since 1875, we have begun a warming period coming out of a cold period. However, during the last 30 years, there's been no warming, and he knows it, and during the last 16 years, there's actually been a cooling. He went on to say, we know that human emissions of greenhouse gases are the primary cause of global warming. That is a complete and utter lie, and he knows it. Scientists have become like politicians. They become religious zealots. They lie without any evidence, with all reason to the contrary. Science has become a source of deception. Once a source of enlightenment, it is no longer the case. They differ not an iota from politicians and pastors. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. This is Noah Diffenbaugh of Stanford University. His parting comments are true, but not for the reasons that he has asserted, which is that human emissions of greenhouse gases are the primary cause of global warming. They're not even a significant contributor. But he concludes by saying, and we know that a number of extreme events have increased in likelihood as a result of that. There is a possibility, maybe even a probability, that the increased tornadic activity in America, overall, if you don't look at this year, increase in cyclonic activity, hurricanes in the Americas and in the South Pacific, are a result of the planet warming from out of the Little Ice Age. But there is a possibility that that's not the case at all. There are many scientists who've recognized that that the natural warming of our planet does not necessarily mean more severe storms. It will bring about differences in climate, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the climate is more severe during the warm periods versus the cold periods. As a matter of fact, there appears to be considerable benefits to humanity and to food production and to civility during the warming periods that does not exist during the cold period. So overall, humanity seems far better served if you look at particularly the last three 12 to 1500 year cycles from the Greeks through modern day. If you look at those cycles, man appears to be, humankind, to be far better off during the warming periods than during the colder periods. So we perhaps ought to be rooting for global warming as opposed to global cooling, and ought not be doing as this quote-unquote scientist is suggesting. James Elsner, a climate and statistics expert at Florida State University, said, based upon his research, that he doesn't agree that warming will bring more hurricanes or typhoons. Quote, we should see fewer storms, but the ones that we see could be stronger, Elsner said. That appears to be the trend over the past 30 years. In fact, over the past 30 years, as it relates to hurricanes and cyclones, we've actually had fewer of them, but the ones we've had have been slightly greater in intensity. But, you know, we really don't know the connection here. It's the truth of it. In October, a study in the scientific journal Nature noted that more than 5 billion people live in areas that could be affected by climate change by 2050. Thus far, by the way, all of their predictions relative to rising sea water have been wrong. You know, it's based primarily on the melting of the polar ice caps, but the polar ice caps, which were supposed to be ice-free this year, according to these same projections by these scientists, were 60% larger than any time in the past 30 years. So their models are completely broken. And their models, even when they postulated their models, they said if the Earth went through a 15-year period without any appreciable warming, that the models were wrong. Well, we've gone 30 years without any warming at all and 16 years with a cooling period. So this, though Nature is part of the propaganda here, the fact is we don't have a model suggesting seawater rise. Now, during the warm periods, there was a modest seawater rise, but it was then receded during the cooling period, and it was quite modest and quite manageable. A June report by the World Bank noted that the Philippines is already seeing the effects of a warming climate, ranking 16 of its provinces amongst the most vulnerable in Asia. The reason for that and for the World Bank engaging is that the myth of man-made global warming is entirely conceived for a singular purpose, to enrich those who are promoting it as they take money from those who are productive and give money to those that will ensure their positions of power. It is the standard socialist communist government schemes that we see destroying the very productivity of America. The Philippines has launched efforts. Of course, they want to be considered cooperative because they want to be the net beneficiaries of cap and trade and the carbon tax to better prepare for the impact of climate change. President Aquino III told CNN's Christine Amanpour on one day last week that she is addressing the issue as a global problem. Now, the reason she's doing that is twofold. One is she wants to be seen as cooperative because she'll be a net recipient of the money. Even the United States, Kerry has spoken in favor of this, as has Obama, because they're socialist. So socialists worldwide and those who will be the net beneficiaries are willing to cooperate with these climate change religious zealots. Now, there's also another aspect to this. Aquino bungled this because Aquino did not provide the transport of the population of Tacloban to higher ground, because Aquino and the Philippine government did not provide the necessary equipment, water, sanitation, and food for the people, then it is incumbent upon the government to push away blame, to say, no, we're not responsible. You know, the fact that we didn't have any trucks prepared and all we had was a tank or two, the fact that we didn't have any airplanes loaded, the fact that we didn't have all of this waiting on higher ground along with the people to protect them from the looming catastrophe. Don't blame us. Blame someone else. So he said, addressing the issue as a global problem, we all live on one planet. Either we come up with a solution that everybody adheres to and cooperates with, or let us be prepared to meet disaster. Well, he knows that he was ill-prepared, which is why his country is in the midst of a disaster, and he wants to have everything taken care of by others. It's the mentality of America today, the mentality of much of the world. Blame someone else for your own mistakes, for your own inability to be prepared. On the table in Warsaw, which is where Sanai is conducting his fast, for the betterment of the world, he'd starve himself to death. That would probably be a good thing. Is the issue of compensating countries that suffer effects of climate change and can't afford to adapt on their own. See, it's all about money. Compensating. Where's the money coming from? From those who are productive. Where's the money going to? To those who are unproductive. From each according to their ability, to each according to their need, with those who decide who is robbed and who is rewarded, skimming part of the wealth and power along the way. Quote, the poorest people in the world are at greater risk because of our vulnerability and decades of maldevelopment, which I must also assert is connected to the kind of pursuit of economic growth that has led to an altered climate system. Sano, the idiot that is fasting, said in Warsaw. Yes, he looks at productive people as malevolent. He looks at economic growth and free enterprise as disgusting. What he wants to do is to rob them and to justify robbing them to enrich those who do not work, to enrich countries whose systems are bankrupt. In his remarks to the conference, Sano challenged climate change skeptics to, quote, get off their ivory towers and away from the comfort of their armchairs, end quote, to see the communities battling flooding, hurricanes, and fires. And if that is not enough, they may want to see what happened to the Philippines now. He is a scum. He is a liar. The world would be better off without him. Now, I'm not a violent person, but if somebody wishes to take their own life, whose life is contributing to the harm of the world is better off without them. The disaster in the Philippines occurred because the Philippine government was not responsible, and because the individuals whose communities were trashed were not prepared. They were not responsible. It's a tragedy. Absolutely. But this tragedy was not caused by those who build airplanes in the Americas, who grow food in the Americas. It was caused by those who were ill-prepared in the Philippines. If you want to go to the Philippines, what you will witness is not the effect of farmers in the Americas or manufacturers of airplanes and engines in America, because they are the solution. What you will witness is what corrupt government does, is how sickeningly corrupt government is. and how government will take care of all manner of things except those things that it actually should do. Now, yesterday on the program, we had a caller speak of the fact that he was irritated that his government won't provide bulldozers and trucks and sanitation and portable water and food, but it will supply aircraft carriers and bombers and fighter jets and tanks. America is no better. In his remarks to the conference, this climate skeptic said that all of the world's current flooding and hurricanes and fires are all a result of man-made global warming. It's a lie. This year's Warsaw Conference brings together countries that have signed onto the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change. The UN Framework is about two things. Cap and trade. That means you cap the amount of carbon that any business or any individual can emanate. And then those that wish to make a market of it, including governments getting enriched, can trade those carbon credits. And then you tax both homeowners and businesses for their use of carbon. And all of the money that is collected is redistributed to those who empower the politicians who favor such one-world government schemes. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. And as we're shattering the myth of the religions of secular humanism, of political correctness, I have obviously a confession to make, and that we're not going to be able to shatter the myths of religious Christianity, of evangelical Christianity, and the four blood moons as they were written by Hagee. But we'll get to that on Monday. I do want to finish our presentation here of debunking the myth of man-made global warming and outing those that are its evangelists. Because, you see, Sano is doing everything he can to cloak his myth of science in religious terms. The storm will be a hellstorm. He will. He is fasting while he preaches. He is talking about the effect on the masses and of their salvation. And so he is a religious zealot. Let's continue. Sano said that at the last conference held in Qatar. Now, Qatar, by the way, is the country that is supplying most of the weapons for the Libyan's civil war, which turned Libya into a terrorist state. It's supplying most of the weapons for the Syrian civil war, which turned a peaceful demonstration into a murder civil war, where probably in the range of 150,000 people have been killed. Qatar has built the largest plant of converting propane gas to a liquid form so that it can be shipped around the world, obviously a fossil fuel. And Qatar was, prior to that, one of the largest distributors of petroleum. So he was not just a complete hypocrite, of course, when the last conference was held last year in Qatar. He appealed to the world to open its eyes. It is also a religious concept. As the Philippines had confronted another catastrophic storm, Typhoon Pofa, which was the costliest in the Philippine history, that was last year. And he said, in less than a year hence, we cannot imagine that a disaster would be bigger. And yet, with a cruel twist of fate, a religious term, my country is being tested, a religious term, by this hellstorm, obviously a religious term called Super Typhoon Haiyan. And he said, speaking on behalf of his delegation, the countless people who could no longer speak for themselves after perishing from the storm, yes, they perished because they were not saved by the science of man. The Climate Action Network, a body of 850 non-governmental organizations, later announced that members of, quote, civil society, that would be those who are enlightened, those would be those who were socialist, secular, humanists, those plagued by political correctness, were joining Sano in fasting. In a move, it said, is unprecedented within the history of the climate movement. Yes, it is a climate movement because it is religious zeal, which is why they're embodying fasting, a religious concept. Climate Action Network spokesman Ria Vohar said that the protest is spreading far and wide, with at least 100 people in Warsaw also now fasting. A lot of climate-focused youth groups have jumped on it immediately to show solidarity. It's the nature of religion. Not think. No, we don't do that in religion. Vohar said that the hunger strikers want the Warsaw Conference to take concrete steps towards reducing carbon emissions before 2020, enacting an international mechanism for damages and financing efforts to adapt to a warming world. Those are the tithes and offerings. And they aren't by choice. No, this is like Mormonism. This is like Catholicism. This is like Islam. They are taken. There's no choice in the matter. They want their tithes and their offerings, all to promote their religion. It is sickening what has happened to what once was a source of wisdom, of enlightenment, of insights, of benefits to humankind. And now even this bastion of once education and reason has become nothing different than religious and political zealots, where reason is cast aside and mysticism is embraced and lies are promoted. It's horrendous. Now, I do want, just as a teaser, to introduce a little bit of the discussion that we're going to have on Monday of next week. You see, according to John Hagee, who is pastor of the Cornerstone Church, he is a New York Times best-selling author and founder of the John Hagee Ministries and Christians United for Israel. He says that God has deliberately changed the nature of the sun, the earth, and the moon to create blood moons regarding future events.